always been of the mind, like, I'm not going to go nowhere that I don't have a tour guide with me. I've been in the Scots one time. I went with a nigga that I knew who lived there. Been in the Beans three times. All three times with a nigga that I know from there. I would never be in an unfamiliar hood without a nigga who's from there.
That's me. That's me all the way. I'm in every unfamiliar hood by myself with nobody.
You see all that light-skinned privilege you got over there? I like a nigga that need to be shot.
The first time I went to Pork and Beans, I was lost.
Pork, man, listen.
I had to ask somebody for directions to get out.
Listen.
Because I kept ending up in the same space.
There's good people everywhere. You know the vibe. I'm just afraid to be in some shit I ain't supposed to be in.
I can't imagine some shit you ain't supposed to be in. In the hood?
Yeah.
In the hood.
What do you mean?
You could stumble up on a situation in the hood that you are unprepared for.
You've never seen an unfamiliar nigga walking down your block and you wonder what the fuck is he doing here?
All the time.
All the time.
See, some people take it a step further. Some people will go and ask you, what the fuck are you doing here? Some niggas take it a step further than that.
Even familiar niggas.
The fuck?
Well, as a matter of fact, worse if it's a familiar nigga. What are you doing here? Why are you around?
Shit, me. I never forget, nigga. Even when I was in Haiti driving through unfamiliar neighborhoods, the look niggas give you, why are you here? What you got going on? Why are you on this side of town? It's only five niggas supposed to be on this block.
So when you in Haiti, do you like, is your aura tourist or is it Haitian?
Let me tell you, there's nothing you can do to blend in.
Nah.
Nothing you can do.
What is it though? Like,
you know what? It's a swag. Because like they can see it on you. Because when I go there, I ain't got no jewelry on. I'm wearing shorts, thong sandals, and a white tee like everybody else is. But niggas are staring me down because they know, oh, this nigga too fat to be from here. Don't nobody hear y'all rolls on the back of their head. This nigga's eating too good. Where you from, brother? What you got? What you got on my 40, brother? The fuck? I don't know. What they can
ain't
see.
Ain't nobody eating like that.
My nigga, they can see it. I have never just went to Haiti and blended in ever. And I be trying.
That's interesting.
Man.
That's like, I mean, I don't blend in when I go to Jamaica, but I think that's because I be wearing socks with my slides.
So that's a great question for me. So when you in Jamaica, can niggas see it on you?
Oh, yeah. I be wearing socks with my slides, bro. Like, they everywhere I go, look at this nigga.
And here's what's crazy, right? I feel like in Miami, if a nigga say, what's that, all right, that nigga's finna go Jamaican. In Jamaica, niggas, I don't know what that nigga is.
Yeah.
That's not crazy.
It is, though. But the few times that I only been to Jamaica like three times. The three times that I went, I only went one time on some tourist types. Like I was on a resort.
Other times with your family?
Yeah. So I was in like, you know what I'm saying? We was driving up and down. My brother actually drove me and my wife like across the whole island one day. Like we seen you name it. We drove past it and stopped and looked at it and all that shit. All the little rivers and people be jumping into and shit.
How long of a commute is that? To drive across the country.
It's a day's worth of driving. Only because we stopping and seeing, like, you know what I'm saying? When you sightseeing, it's a day's worth of driving because obviously you're going to stop every so often. But if you just drive, like, say if you're just trying to get from point A to point B real quick, it's like a couple hours.
I'm trying to find a reference for how big Jamaica is, but
I was just trying to figure that out in my
head. The way they make maps is so crazy, you can't call it. Like, I know the biggest island in the Caribbean is Cuba.
Because they lying about how big all of the continents
is. And that kind of, like, once I figured out that, like, Africa is, like, two, three times the size that they make it seem on the map, fuck me up.
Mm-hmm. And we overpopulated as a planet.
You know. Because the resources belong to a few people. It's not enough for you niggas.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That's
not enough for y'all boys.
Now you're talking.
Oh, this tequila got me hot. You might as well go ahead and get started. Yeah.
Am I doing vocals today?
That's
since
right.
Since I suspended Ricky.
Yeah. I guess we got to.
Don't fuck it up, nigga.
How hard can singing after Ricky be?
I'm not gonna lie to you. Man, I've been looking, speaking of that fucking nigga, I've been looking at the actors for this Michael Jackson biopic.
Hey, nah, I ain't gonna lie.
It's looking like something now.
I wanna hate.
It's looking like something now. hey now.
I wanna hate just to get on his nerves.
I seen Joe Jackson, I seen the five niggas, I seen Catherine so far.
It's like them people was made to play them people, bro. Like it looked too on point.
I'm just gonna wait and withhold my judgment. But so far, so good. Now
they did. So far, they did better than the Bob Marley joint. I ain't gonna count.
You can't do all that now.
I'm saying in terms of matching up likeness.
Put a pin in it. We right back after the intro because that I want to talk about. That's good interesting. Show.
Trying to get a goddamn music started.
Oh, nigga, I heard shit.
Men who love.
Okay, but so then you don't think the casting was good for the Bob shit?
Man, the nigga playing Bob is 6'5", brother. What are we doing?
Really?
But as I'm saying, Bob couldn't play in the NBA, my nigga.
I mean, but
the nigga who played him could play in the NBA right now. Lakers actually need him.
I'm assuming it must have been hell for them to find a nigga who can check every box. He must have been able to check a good chunk of the boxes.
Man, all right.
But that's the thing. Because I want to hear.
His fucking kids
I wanna
look
hear
more
that,
like him than that nigga do.
But them niggas can't act.
All right.
Them niggas can't act. That got to be what it is.
It ain't. But this the thing, though. When you doing something like that, it ain't even about your ability to act. Because you... Those are real people.
So you
right?
wanted to be a Tubi, straight Tubi movie.
Cause come on now.
Why wasn't it a Tubi movie?
Come on, what we doing here? What we doing here?
You telling me wanted it to be a Tubi.
The Bob Marley brand.
If you used a Jamaican nigga, it wouldn't have been a Tubi movie.
The Bob Marley brand is a big brand that feed a lot of people. They couldn't fuck around and just choose some nigga who looked like him. It had to be more than that. It had to be big. And then you know, when you're talking about a movie, and people put money into a movie, they have to put money into an actor who they believe in, who's done some projects that they've seen before.
All right, so at least then make everybody else look taller.
So are you saying that this nigga looked too tall in the movie?
Yes.
I have to see it, bro, because you said you didn't even see it.
He's not a tall...
So from the commercial, because this is the thing.
The still
like,
shots.
Like, I've seen pictures this week of Bad Boys being filmed, and they had Martin standing on crates.
And I want to tread carefully too, because I don't want to make it sound like I don't like the movie, because that's not true.
But see,
did you see the movie?
Nope.
Nah, I haven't seen it.
You see what I mean?
No. Don't do that, because I absolutely love it.
But it's like, don't get me wrong. I don't judge any Jamaican for being hypercritical of this movie. It's Bob.
That's my only it's critique Bob. Is that at.
You felt like you should have played it.
At least.
Talk that shit.
At least the height would have matched.
Because people are saying so. And that's the thing. I'm only taking the words of other Jamaicans online. Some are saying the accent was great. Some are saying the accent was watered down and terrible.
I mean, the accent. Again, it ain't even about the accent, bruh. It's the mannerism.
They said he had an iPhone 15 in there too. So
no,
they probably did. They had Starbucks and Game of Thrones. Y'all think they really care about us? Like, y'all think they care about the viewers? They don't give a shit about us. They know we're gonna spend our dumbass money anyway.
To be in the '70s, and he got an iPhone
and you know,
a newer iPhone than me.
Come on, man.
That's what's crazy.
The thing is, it's definitely a family supported project. I see Rowan everywhere talking about it. I see Ziggy everywhere. Only nigga that I haven't seen speak about it is Junior Gong. Nigga nowhere to be found.
But
yeah, because they wrote him out of the movie.
That I was about to say, in his defense also, he don't never really speak up for nothing about nothing anyway.
That's right. So yeah, he's kind
of
like
was from the wife's point of view, it's from what I'm hearing, and basically so they wrote out the side chick part. And
I find baby. That very yeah. interesting, right? Because
but it's from her perspective. So she's like, I'm not putting no movie out there and adding that part in there.
And so Ziggy being ahead of it now make a lot more sense now, because Ziggy is part of that original tribe, right? Ziggy is Rita's son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you say that's I don't like I know them, but I don't know the inner workings of their inner relationship.
Who belong to who?
Not even just that, but who's cool with who? Because this is a big group of people you're
but
talking
also,
about.
Also, like, they're intentional about making it look outside looking in, like everybody's cool.
Absolutely.
Like, if there are problems, they're not trying to let us know.
And that's what I'm saying. From my perspective, I don't see why you would leave him out. Because if y'all goal is to make everybody think everything cool, that don't make it look like everything cool.
Yeah, but I can also understand why, like, his wife wouldn't want a side chick part in the movie.
But
she produced.
She ain't put the part where she had the babies in there.
You know women. Okay. You know women.
I'm just going off of speculation.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. She made a decision to put the parts of her side babies in there.
She did.
Because it's from her perspective.
Which is interesting because technically, those are Bob's kids.
He kept them?
We can think they side babies all they want.
He kept them. He raised them. They lived off of his legacy.
Which ones are they?
I have no idea. I don't know. Like, I don't know each and every one of his children. I know, like, I've met Rohan. I've met Kamani. I've been to a couple of Junior Gong concerts. But I ain't gonna say I know them, like, to say, yo, that's such and such. That's this one. That's that one. That's this one's son. And I don't know them like that. So in my eyes, if I'm trying to learn about Bob and his legacy, you just did me a kind of a disservice by giving me what you gave me, because you ain't give me what his legacy was.
And see, this is the problem with biopics. Like with Mike Tyson, he went on a smear campaign about his biopic because somebody else did it.
As he should have, though.
And so, but they included the jail. They included rape. They included him getting greased. They included him getting taken advantage of. Do we think that if Mike had to do his own movie, he would have included a rape scene?
Hell no.
So it's like, this is what we get when we let the Marleys, when they do their own movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like, this man
is...
You
see the Wendy Williams?
Oh, man.
I haven't seen that movie yet, but it look a little. I've seen the clips.
We could get into it because we actually got some previous knowledge about, you know what I'm saying?
So, what was her movie like? Was it?
It was a doc.
I'm just waiting for us to start because we're doing the whole podcast and we haven't started.
Man, listen.
I think I got it.
Okay.
My bad. I think we upgraded.
See, this is why I said when I'm replace Ricky, this is who I'm gonna go because she on point.
Play me a beat. Let me see.
Have fun at home, bitch.
Is that my headphones?
Enjoy your one game suspension, motherfucker.
Draymond ass bitch. Both of y'all black as fuck.
See, now you found yourself a nigga. You looking ignorant. For a nigga? Nigga here now. See?
Ladies and gents, niggas and niggas. Sorry, we upgraded
some equipment.
We're a little bit richer now.
Nigga.
But it's still
nigga,
the same old vibes. Go ahead, Plus. Let them know.
Let's go. We some niggas. With opinions. We some niggas. With a beans, we some niggas. With a beans, me some niggas. With a beans, nigga with a pin, nigga with a pin, nigga, nigga with a pin, 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 nigga. I know some niggas and they got a pin. Bitch, you need a pin, you should get them from these niggas. Bitch, you need a pin, you should get them from these niggas. Me, you need a pin, you should get them from these niggas. Hey, me, Benny, Christmas Raw. Talk shit for to hit you in your bitch jaw. For real, ain't no games, ho. Real niggas never been no lane, ho.
Yeah.
Stay out my fucking lane, ho.
Yeah.
You give me fucking brain, ho.
Hold on.
Like a dragon, you get slain, ho.
Yeah.
Singing like I'm T-Pain, ho. Let me buy you a drink. I'm a real nigga, bitch, the fuck that you think.
Hey.
Smell real clean, nigga, never been stank.
Hey.
I like my little drink with a little bitty pink.
Hey.
Little bitty pink, a little bitty ice. Hey, I don't get no pain, no little bitty price. I like a little bitty rice.
Let's fucking go. All
right, that's good enough.
I ain't never heard you get in that pocket, nigga.
You know what it is? Listening to fucking D-Lo, this nigga has the most unorthodox flows in the state.
Yeah.
Bro.
Was that Boss Man D-Lo?
Yeah, bro. I've heard a lot about it.
Can we make him Song of the Week?
We can. Bro, the flow
is... Okay, is that okay with Maybach Music? Can we do that? I got it. You are the special
the
guest.
Nigga has
I'm making
been
sure.
Taking over the airwaves as of late. Like every yeah. fucking all over TikTok is him.
Everybody's putting him on their videos.
The first time I ever hear it, I always hear a song, it'd be trying to take me like 18 bars to figure out the pocket that he's in. But once I realize, like, okay, young man, there's your pocket. Enjoy your pocket.
Ladies and gents, We're back at it again. This is the NWO Podcast. I'm 1/4 of your host, Benesy. Take a shot of me. And I'm joined by my brothers in Buffoonery Plus.
Yo.
The Vegan Trap Lord. Playing with his dolls. And we got
They're
somebody.
Not dolls, man. They are collectibles, brother.
They look like dolls. You
my dolls enough. Me.
Dolls have hair you can comb and shit. You can't comb Roman Reigns' hair, cuz.
But you could in real life.
And I'm not going to comb his hair in real life.
But you're playing with his doll.
Yeah, because the shit hard. Pause.
Man.
I'm so sorry.
And we got a return guest. Day one guest. Always a pleasure to have her on board
day
with us.
One-ish.
We got Empress Raw. I'm sorry, Wilhelmina Jones, also known as Empress Raw. In the building.
You got to say it right. Wilhelmina
Jones.
You heard?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How y'all feeling?
Man, I'm hot.
This bamboo got me hot as fuck.
A little drunk. Still tingling from yesterday. Trying to
pass me some of that bumble.
I don't think you need it. You over there playing with dolls. Why don't you
brother
hand
man,
that over
brother
there?
Brother man, call him a doll again, bro. Call him a doll again.
I mean, just let the nigga call it.
Dolls,
it is what it is.
Bro.
Action figures.
They're collectibles. They're not even action figures.
All right.
They're collectibles with the kung fu grip.
Yes.
Gentlemen, how we doing? How we feeling? Gentlemen, lady, pardon me. How we
there
doing? How
go.
We feeling?
There you go. Address my dog.
I'm feeling good, man. Y'all done got me in here with this vegan trapper mm-hmm. of food. Mm-hmm. It was fire. That's why I say, yo, we got to record because I'm about to fall asleep. Y'all got me feeling good. I'm vibed up.
Let's get straight to it.
Ready to get into it.
Let's get to it. Ben,
thank y'all for having me.
Listen.
Always. You. Thank you for coming back. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Been so long.
And then always intelligent insight you coming from you. I really do appreciate hearing what you have to say.
Appreciate
you. Like last time we were speaking about dating as a boss, and it was really brilliant hearing your insight. It's still one of my favorite conversations here.
Mm. Yes.
It was really, really good insight because as a man, it's just, how do I put this delicately? It's hard to see things from the other side. You know
True.
What I mean? And it's like when you can have somebody articulate things that kind of help you see, I consider that an ally. In other words, I consider that somebody who's helping me open my perspective. And, you know, we always appreciate you.
Nah, for sure. Appreciate y'all.
Benford, what'd you do this week?
Honestly, just working and being fucking annoyed by these fucking spring breakers that are here clogging up all the fucking lanes in the fucking traffic.
They're here?
Yeah, they're here.
My ticket cost 3 times to come into town this go around. I hate this time of year.
Makes sense.
Flying into Miami like the fall, December, it's whatever. Once this shit hit March, shit. Fuck. And then going into the summer. But you know, I'm just so sad that the older we get, the more boring our answers get. When 6 years ago, I asked what you did this week, it'd be brunch.
I was at a brunch.
It'd be bitches. You went to a boxing match. Nigga was jet skiing. Right. I went to work.
I'm not going to take that.
Nah, bro.
Because you talk about when we started a podcast, when the world was a great place when we started this podcast.
Yeah, it's a lot different now.
Since we started this podcast, the world has gone through catastrophe after catastrophe. Nigga, Nipsey died. Kobe died. COVID happened. The world got dark. It wasn't us.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just getting older or if it's just we done did so much of the same things that it's just not.
Yeah.
It don't hit the same
not the
no
same.
More.
Like, I would never be excited to go out to Memorial Weekend for a spring break again, but people still coming every year to come ruin the city.
Ruin the beach.
And what you're
saying
everywhere.
Still coming.
And with you saying that, I realized how old I sounded just on the drive here. I went on a 10-minute rant just by my fucking self, yelling at the kids. I'm like, bro, why the fuck y'all coming down here? Ain't shit here.
I don't know if niggas seen, though, but South Beach, they're trying to kill spring break, and they're trying to kill Memorial Weekend.
Yeah.
I thought they killed Memorial Weekend already.
Like, bro, they're going to, their curfews, $100 parking. Jails on every corner, police presence,
paddy wagons everywhere.
And they don't do that for the Ultra Fest, though. And they don't do that for, you know, certain things in the city. But when they know that, you know, it's Urban Week, it's like you said, they have portable jails out there. Once they started doing that, I'm like,
come on, okay.
I don't want to be nowhere around this.
Now,
let me ask, jail is insane.
Let me ask the devil's advocate question, just because I want to be fair and I don't know. Is there any chance that there's more destruction and more debauchery when there are niggas out there as opposed to those people who aren't beans? Is there any possibility? Because they're like, white people are gonna fight. They're gonna get drunk and they're gonna trash shit. Mm-hmm. Is somebody gonna get shot?
Destruction? No. Debauchery? Absolutely. They be down there fucking trees.
Huh?
Y'all ain't seen this shit?
Thank God. I haven't. Glory be to God.
They be, on Molly having sex with the palm trees. They be out there drink. Ben, you've seen this shit, bro. They be out there drink at Wet Willie's, hanging off the fucking banister, phasing in and out of reality and all type of shit. You ain't gonna see no video of that, though.
And it's like, this is a town that, like, makes a lot of money off of tourism. Mm-hmm. Like, are we the kind of city that can afford to tell niggas don't come here, don't spend money here?
Nah, but what I could say really, though, why do they come down here and tear it up? Like, why they can't just, you know, vibe and just enjoy the city? They do come and they start shooting, ripping stuff up, tearing it up. Like,
I kind of, part of it has to be like the reputation. People come here to do that kind of lawless shit. Like, they come here for the lawlessness. And there was a point on the beach, like when I was 19, 18, it was lawless. There wasn't enough police, no internet, but, no phone.
But
something happening on First and Collins and you on Third and Collins, you just not gonna know.
But it was more vibes though.
Yeah.
The vibes when you the time period in which you're referring, the vibes was immaculate. If you compare them to the vibes now, bro, people was walking out on the street. Meeting strangers, nigga. Like, I don't know you from nowhere, but you know what? What up, my nigga? You walking out here, nigga. I'm walking out here, nigga. You got a drink. I got it. What up, nigga? Hell yeah. And we are going our separate ways.
I remember
now,
literally being on the beach. I had rap. A nigga had weed. We swapped out. Never met him before.
And everything was all
just
good.
Just helping your fellow man. Just helping your fellow man, bro.
Do you think that's going to happen today?
Nah,
man. But it's like, I'm sad to see that chapter close because, like, it was fun, but also it has gone overboard. And it's so, like, my son is never going to know what that feels like to be on the beach doing Memorial Weekend the right way. I don't even know if Daytona still be rocking. No?
No, I don't know. I think they're starting to try to bring something back to Daytona. But I think for
I
a long
heard
time
that
they
in
shut
years.
It down.
In years, right?
Years. Not ever since. No, because it was just too disgusting, though. It was too treacherous. Like, they about to see this Freaknik trailer drop, so that whole thing is about to come out.
Yeah.
Girls
now you're
going to
see really how they used to be doing it. And that's why I think now it's just, like, so boring. Because they was crazy out there. Like, now nothing like compares to it. It's like really
don't nobody pop pussy no more.
Now wait a minute,
that crazy.
It's watered down, like
the pussy popping watered down.
I'm just saying, like, everything, like how you saying Daytona Beach, the memorial, like nothing is the same.
Nah, in my opinion, that's the thing that changed though. The pussy popping stopped.
Okay, that's actually interesting because there are lots of talks and criticism online about just pussy popping and club culture in general. And they're saying how lots of things have killed pussy popping culture, from the way that the club is set up, where we're talking about
sections,
like tables
and
sectional dance floors,
the way men are being extra rapey.
But
out here,
I'm not gonna lie to you,
that's probably at the top of the list.
If I can keep it a stack with you,
that killed the pussy popping.
Men are less rapey now than they've ever been before. Because when I was going to Nocturnal, niggas were animals. Animals.
True that. You got a valid point,
like,
right there.
I don't see seven niggas grabbing one woman anymore. That was Nocturnal.
And that's what I'm saying.
That was Rendezvous.
It was crazy.
That was Club Life. Yeah. That was Studio 54. It was animals grabbing one woman because...
Seven niggas on one female just because she decided... that she was going to twerk.
However,
that's it.
Less rapey doesn't mean not rapey. I'm sorry. I take that back. Rapey is rapey. Right. Just because it was more back then and it's less now, it's still terrible.
But, I think niggas are more covert with the rapey vibes now.
But also, like, I remember being in the club with, like, Travis Porter was making new music. And it's like there was music that helped the women unleash
Shout out to Travis Porter, dog. Wherever y'all
like,
at in the world.
Who is making the music to usher in some of this ass shaking? Who's doing it for us? Who's making No Hands? Who's doing those?
Bend that ass over. Make that coochie breathe.
Okay. I have not been in the club when that's come on. What are women doing when it comes on?
I don't know.
I guess their hands are on their knees.
But I imagine that coochie is breathing.
Yeah, because it's just, I just like, drill is one of the worst things that ever happened to us. I hate that shit so bad. I want it to go away.
You said drill?
Yes, yes, man.
It made the vibes too gangster.
Come on, man. Like, there was a time where there was music for at home and music in the club. And now the home music is infiltrating the club. What are we supposed to do to this shit? Rap out loud?
Once I would ride around in my car listening to Boosie and 2 Chainz. And then I go to the club and they putting on, like you say, Travis Porter and Ying Yang Twins and these dance music songs type shit. Now it's like you say, bro, the vibes done got too crossed up.
It could be DJs too, because
they can only play the music that's out there though.
They're following the trends. They're following internet social media trends. That's the issue.
What I mean is, like, for example, there's a way you DJ in a strip club and the way you DJ in the club.
I like the way they DJ in the strip club.
But that's not conducive to like joint dancing with a person. Like, a stripper can really shake that ass to anything, but it's about maintaining vibes. What you want is a stripper's to dance, and you want everybody else to sit the fuck down. That's what DJs are good at. That's what Jeezy's for. It makes the women shake that ass and let niggas sit down and rap.
Empress, when the last time you went out? Like, party vibes.
Since Jesus was in the manger. I ain't been outside.
See what I mean?
I've been inside. I'm bored. I'm going to be... Since the, what is it called? Reposado. Yeah, that
one. Reposado.
The Reposado.
Listen, it has got very boring to me. I don't know if I'm just like, I don't pop all the Bel Air I could pop. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, after the pandemic, the vibes are just not the same outside to me anymore. Like,
Do you believe that the pandemic has changed our world permanently?
It's definitely different. Now I'm at the point where it's like, I kind of had got a little social anxiety from, I don't want to be around people and coughing all on me and around me, and you know what I'm saying? So,
oh yeah, because niggas don't cover their mouth no more when they cough.
Yo, what? You go in the CVS and somebody coughing that line.
They letting that motherfucker fly.
I'm ready to fade though. It's like it's different.
Damn, bro.
I'm not going to lie. You could cough anywhere, but don't cough in the Walgreens line, dog. Don't do that to me.
We're here to get better.
don't cough on me in the CVS, girl.
I know you sick.
Exactly. So yeah,
you in here, nigga? I know you sick.
I thought that there was gonna be like a resurgence of the vibes.
Me too.
When I went to H-Town last year, cause that Ski Yeet, when it dropped in the club that we was at, both clubs that we was at, we went to one spot one night, another spot another. When that shit dropped,
you was in there twerking.
Hey, watch out, man!
That's funny. You funny as fuck. You funny as fuck.
The women in there, dog, it was like a revival for them.
Is the problem then a Miami club culture? Miami, Atlanta club culture? Because that's where the complaints are coming from. Miami, Atlanta, New York.
I definitely think there needs to be a serious revamp of Miami club culture.
Because listen this what happened to us. Like, there's no more Cafe Iguanas.
Oh my God.
The strip clubs and stuff are mid, like, not the same. People don't even throw money in there no more like it used to be.
The strip clubs are dying.
We don't have a lot of the things that we had. Like, what was it? Sobe Live back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we don't have those same staples, I don't think, anymore. And a lot of things that was like, for instance, I was heavily involved with, like, the local scene and stuff. The artists... they're not giving right now. Like, I don't hear any new bops, any hits. Like, so it just leaves the city in like a weird space for me.
I'm hearing new music, but nothing that is special.
No hits.
I guess, like, it's been a while since I've heard something that I've never, like, I remember my first time I was in Fat Tuesdays, I heard them drop Kid Cudi Day and Night. And I was like, I've never heard some shit like this. It took me a while to figure out what the fuck this is. Like, when's the last time you heard a nigga that just sound unlike the other niggas?
Right. A lot of stuff, it just sounds the same. It's like
day and night.
Now, okay, as somebody who works in the business, right? Because there's a pressure to make what works. And if a nigga makes, if a nigga goes platinum using this producer or using this kind of style of song, then ultimately everybody eventually does it. Like, is the need to make money and recoup money, I guess, kind of killing the industry a little bit? Is it kind of help hurting the artist's creativity?
Is capitalism destroying art? Is that what you're asking me?
Fuck, I guess, man. I guess,
I don't know, because now it's like, even instead of just making music, it's like, oh, we got to make music for TikTok. Or like you said, the drill stuff is popular. So, oh, let's all follow the same trend. Like you said, I don't think we have like superstars and stuff like really emerging like we did. The hottest artist I feel like has the most buzz within the last year is Sexy Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
That's where we at with it right now.
Shake that ass for me.
And I'm not gonna lie, I have been playing Glorilla's new shit recreationally. That shit got me.
Yeah,
Glorilla. Oh, that shit got me. That, cause you know what? That shit sound like old Memphis shit. It sound like old 3-6 shit.
Big Glow.
I had to go see who produced it. It wasn't Juicy. It shocked the fuck out of me. Like, it sound like that.
He ain't got no writer's credits on it?
I didn't go look. That, because he might be a sample. But either way, it feel like 036. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not new, but it's good. It's a good song. She came on it great. She didn't do too much. Didn't get in the way of the beat. Did her job. I fuck with it. But.
And I didn't realize just how many songs Sexy Red actually has. Because shout out my dog, Randall. He got me into one of her concerts she had in Las Olas. And she brought the women out.
She got some snappers, boy.
And she got some shit that hit.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. Like, it was song after song after song. And then she brought Kodak out. He brought the house down for about like 10 minutes.
Nigga, it's Broward. You know what the fuck he gonna do in Broward. Yeah.
But I'm saying, though.
He barely even performed.
Like, I can imagine how electric the club get when hands on your knees, let that coochie breathe hit.
Like, that shit.
I actually love that song.
It got boom, bap, bap, boom, bap vibe. Like, some nigga went and extracted an old Luke beat pattern and put it in that shit. It gave me that vibe. It's great. But it's not a lot of those. Mm-mm. It's not. And niggas don't want to give it credit because it's Drake. But I think it's a great record, though. It is a great record.
I think that's one of them joints that even without Drake, it would have snapped.
And this is my problem, bro. Like, how is Drake still the number one nigga right now? Like, what are niggas doing? How is it how is he still LeBroning this shit? They have the same kind of career arc. Both of those niggas have been doing this too long, and there needs to be a young nigga to come up there and do his job. They both have been killing shit for too long.
I'm almost 100% sure I'm gonna catch hella smoke on YouTube if I give you the answer to your question.
Talk to me. Just say I'm dying to hear it now.
One of them Jewish, the other one made in the lab. They designed to last this long.
But like, is there no more? Okay.
I'm gonna say like the youngins, they like people like NBA YoungBoy and like,
but even YoungBoy don't have the type of like YoungBoy music will get millions of views, millions of streams, and everything like that. But YoungBoy could drop an album, and it will not stop. Like, it won't stop anything. Drake drop an album, that shit gonna stop things.
Now, okay, like when we were in high school, right? All the music that we were getting were from major labels. So maybe 40 rappers at a time. Nowadays, it's 3,000 niggas you can play. Are there just too many rappers not to ever be a superstar like Drake again? Is it just too many niggas?
I don't know, because every week, I'm not going to lie, they're coming out the woodworks every week. And like, for instance, like the X, what, the magazine that they dropped the
Double XL.
Yo, they put that new list out. Hey, I knew probably.
I can't even read half of the names, boy.
Two people.
They spelling the names with symbols.
I be feeling crazy.
They replacing the A's with X's.
Boys, bro. I don't know them. So it's really different.
I don't know you.
And even on the blogs, like when they be mentioning some of these rappers and shit, I'm like, bro, who?
Yeah, and now we in a situation where it's like a microwave era. So it's like every Friday, new music's dropping. So it's like, you might listen to it a few times or whatever, and then it's on to the next. So
and
it's
you
like,
say every Friday, like every motherfuckers week. Don't, no, motherfuckers ain't wake up on a Friday and say, you know what, we gave them enough music last Friday, let's let them listen to that this week.
And no lie, I be trying to give these new artists grace. Every Friday or maybe every other Friday, I go into the browse section at Apple Music.
Because they give you that new music playlist. And whenever I'm working out, I give it a shot.
I try. But like, these niggas putting out 22, 23 tracks of just, what the fuck is
mid.
This? Mid.
Fucking auto-tune.
So much of it. So much.
Imitation shit.
I don't even listen. I would not listen to a 20 nothing. Like,
I've been looking for the stars. Where are the stars on the playlist? If I, well, let me see the singles. Okay, let me ask you this question now. I remember about 2013, Lil Wayne was putting out more music than anybody I'd ever seen in my life. He was constantly churning out new music. It was great because he had a different ethic. But now it seems like what he was doing back in the day is now the norm. Mm-hmm. Niggas are dropping an album and two mixtapes per year. Is that too goddamn much to create quality? You think?
Nah. Well, you know what? I think because, like, if motherfuckers, like, say we all doing it, right? And you slow down, you gonna drown. Because we ain't gonna stop. So that means when we releasing music every Friday and your last release was, like, 3 Fridays ago, nigga, by the 4th Friday, niggas have forgot about you.
Bro, I saw kids, 13-year-olds, having a discourse about Roddy Ricch falling off. And I'm like, Roddy Ricch falling off?
He just got here.
The box was yesterday.
But that's what I'm
the
saying.
The box went crazy yesterday.
I'm not going to lie to
you. The nigga fell off?
That sophomore album, though.
I didn't play it. I don't know.
Yeah.
The sophomore album is the one with the hibachi joint on there?
I think so.
Yeah, like the cover got him like going fast and some shit.
It just, we got to give niggas more grace when we talk about falling off, man. That shit, that's a crazy accusation.
It's soon though, but that's the era of music that we in. Just like Empress said, I'm not sure if I should call you Empress.
No, that's fine.
That's fine, all right. Mm. Just like Empress said, like it's a microwave era. So now we're expecting every project to hit. Like if you put out one bad project, it's like, all right, we tossing you aside. Like we don't want to hear from you no more. Because we got some other shit cooking in the microwave right next to you.
Right, my nigga, like how is there no new Beyonce, bro? How the fuck has she been the top for 30 years and nobody's doing nothing? Ain't no new one?
Who else can you name?
I have the answers to these questions, man.
She's in the lab too?
Nah.
She Jewish?
No.
She Creole?
Yeah, all right, so listen to this now, right? Every young R&B artist that has come up and attached themselves to Beyonce has gotten fucking nowhere. Why you think that is?
Are you calling it sabotage?
I can't call it something that it is.
You funny as fuck.
It is that. I can't call it that. That's what it is.
I mean, because in the same way, like every new rapper eventually wants to be connected with Jay-Z. Like they're the apex of the genre.
But that's what I'm saying.
You eventually want the blessing of the nigga in the genre.
And that blessing is real. If you don't get that blessing, you don't get that next stage. You don't get that superstardom.
Is anyone listening to Victoria Monet? Nigga saying that she might be next? I don't know about it work well enough.
2 years ago, Ari Lennox was next. They popping out R&B artists like water, bro.
Okay.
It's not that there aren't enough R&B artists. They're just not allowing those R&B artists to reach the stature of a Beyonce, bro.
I saw somebody say 30 years ago in R&B, the songs that SZA are writing and performing, she would have been a writer and she would have been having to give her songs to somebody like Chloe, who's an amazing vocalist. And it's like, because the writers are keeping the songs in the tuck, for them, as opposed to giving it to the best voices of our generation, we no longer have those amazing Whitney Houston-ass songs, those Mariah Carey-ass songs. Any truth to that? Like writers jumping out, like writers no longer wanting to play the background no more.
I could agree with that.
To a certain degree. Because when you have like a really, really, truly talented pen and you give it to the right artist, the performance is amazing. Because we put what's his name? Neo and Took question. Neo wrote for Beyonce.
Yeah.
And then we got To the Left when he wrote for the, he wrote that song.
And it's like Beyonce's always gonna find herself a really great writer with a really good song.
And what was the other lady that she destroyed when she defected from the program? What was her name? Carrie.
Carrie's an amazing
pen. Carrie Hilson.
Amazing pen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for her. Carrie Hilson was amazing.
She got a great pen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does. She's a great pen.
So you, when you take away the great pens and they want to become the actual artist,
like, she's the victim of a Beyonce beef. I don't know why she tried that shit.
I don't know why she did it.
But
I don't know why she did it.
Because if somebody hating on you behind this, not everybody could just walk around and be like, yo, I'm going to take that on the chin from the biggest star and just vibe. Some people like, bro, I don't care who you is. You ain't finna deal with me like that. I can't imagine somebody as large as Beyonce really being compassionate towards each and every individual. Like, I just don't believe that. I think she's an asshole to some people. Beehive, you know where to find me.
Yeah. Find that nigga. Find him specifically. Don't come find me, please.
NWO Podcast. That's where you can find me at.
I don't want nothing to do with it because I went after Justin Bieber one time and they trying to murder me online.
Man, I know somebody else went after Justin Bieber.
That's crazy.
Come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Wild. What are we doing?
Wow.
You really went there. You set him up.
Yeah, I did. I teed him up. I teed him up for that shit.
While we're here, bro.
Yeah.
That goddamn complaint.
Are we calling it a complaint now?
That's the legal word.
It's not a lawsuit.
They filed the complaint.
Okay.
That's what it is legally.
You're right.
I had to read all 75 pages because...
What are we talking
about? That's a wild complaint.
The complaint.
The complaint?
Yeah.
It's a legal complaint. It's a complaint.
Which complaint?
The complaint that's been lobbied against Sean Combs.
Oh, okay.
You and your that's what bag
I'm telling you, because I'm telling you, nigga. I had to read the lines. Because I was creating content with like this lawyer, so it's like we just needed to understand what was going on, and it's just a lot of that shit is just a lot of it was created to incite the court of public opinion, unfortunately, and it's like we know that the court of public opinion has
it's
impact
unjust.
On the court.
It's biased,
but because it's bro, like you know, real names are supposed to be in complaints. This nigga's out here.
You talking
saying,
about on this newer situation?
Yes.
Because
well, I never read the old complaint.
Okay.
Yeah, not the Cassie joint.
Yeah, I never read it.
Okay.
Because it was resolved too fast, so I never even got to read it. Because the nigga, boom, settled that bitch quick, man, fast in a hurry, killed it.
Let's tell the truth.
Mm-mm.
That one ain't. She ain't named no names in hers. Like
I don't
that.
Know what she did in that. Didn't read it.
Anything that she, if she did name names, those names would have come out just the same way. This kid insinuated that other people was involved in the situations. It came out and people dealing with it like it's the truth. If Cassie had put names in her shit, nigga, when the Cassie shit came out, motherfuckers said it was rumored that TD Jakes was on there. The next episode, we was calling the nigga TD Cakes.
Okay. All right. But you see, like, what I don't love, like, is niggas talking about Usher. Nigga, Usher was 12, bro. Usher was 11, 12. We got to give this nigga grace. Like,
all right.
it's crazy.
If.
Because we got to talk about a nigga like a victim, bro. We have to.
If it happened, you a victim.
You got to wrestle them for
He's
it.
A victim.
Huh?
You got to wrestle them for
it. Come on, man. The nigga was a baby, bro. Was a baby. We have to give
I
niggas
don't make
grace.
The rules. If
come
you
want to
give
man.
Him grace, you got to wrestle him for
come
it.
Come on now, man.
If.
Now,
happened.
See, all this.
If.
Allegedly.
No, the wrestling is not alleged. Puff said them boys used to wrestle every morning for the Frosted Flakes.
I didn't see that.
All that
he
so
said
scary.
That with
that
his
so
face.
Scary.
No, this whole shit is very scary because it's just like the people, the moguls and the legends that, you know, we love and looked up to. It's crazy how their name just, you know, caught up in all the scandal and stuff like that. And it's like, we weren't there. We don't know the full story of what happened. You know, it's a lot of, you know, allegations and everything like that. But yo, after a while, it's like, for instance, how Bill Cosby came out. It was like, yo, okay, one person, okay, two person. But after that, when it's 17 people accusing you, it's just like crazy. It's like, Is there any truth to this? You or people are trying to look for a payday? Like,
it could be that too.
I don't know, but it's sad to see this man go out like Willie Lump Lump. Like, Puff Diddy is somebody who I really, you know, looked up to. Dog. So just to see
Love Diddy. I love Bad Boy.
It's crazy and it's
here,
wild.
I'm on here capping for Diddy times. You can go back and check that.
When I was in elementary school and there was East Coast, West Coast beef, I decided I'm an East Coast nigga.
I was on Bad Boy.
I chose Bad Boy, nigga. I chose a side.
I was with Pac.
You was with Pac? Yeah. No, nigga. Biggie was too fly. I was a Biggie nigga.
Yeah, man. It's just a lot of craziness going on, and he's just been quiet about everything, and then, you know, so many people names and stuff. But one thing about the internet, boy, they love negativity. They thrive on it. Like, they don't have to have the facts. Like, and they don't have to have the facts. They
with could the just civil be... suit, the burden of proof is lower than it is for criminal court. You know what I mean? Like, with criminal court, you have to prove beyond...
You had to prove a crime happened.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you got to prove this shit happened. Mm-hmm. And it's like, a civil suit doesn't have that same kind of...
All
like,
you need,
if the judge feel you got hurt, you might get paid.
That's what I'm about to say. All you need is a little bit of doubt.
If you feel you got hurt, you might get paid. And it's like, so even if the nigga gets paid, for me, it's not saying that Diddy did all the shit that he said he did. But I would love to know what the fuck is what so I know how to feel. That's all. Because I'm not going to believe it. Because this is a nigga who didn't get paid for his music. We know Puff did that. We know Puff do that sometimes. Facts. And we know that can make you mad enough to say other shit. So this is a nigga who's mad anyway.
Mad enough to be a power bottom?
guys. All right. Who put her up to this? Which one of y'all put her up to this, dog? Why are we back here?
Jesus, bro.
Nah. But no, I really hate it. And I really hate, like you say, how, first of all, you know, the victims and stuff, that if the people who are, you know, claiming stuff, I feel really bad for them. If, you know, imagine if Cassie really just went through all of, you know, what she described. That is crazy. Like, this man is like,
he's a fucking, if you go off of the lawsuits that have been filed verbatim, that nigga is the literal definition of a monster. Like, I don't know if y'all ever seen, what's the fucking movie, dog? Tales from the Hood.
I knew you was going to say that. I knew he was going to say Tales from the Hood.
You know exactly the monster I'm talking about, Plus.
Because, bro, every time I see a picture of Cassie now, I just remember that she shaved off the side of her head and then had, like, women everywhere doing it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And whole time...
It was because this nigga...
snatched her fucking hair out. I don't know if that's true, but if it's true, it's fucking crazy.
Crazy. This nigga had the whole... Like, he had you guys in a chokehold.
Now, the problem is...
with this hairstyle.
Because we know that Diddy has done some music business evil. I think everybody's just so quick to believe that he's capable of every kind of evil. And I don't know if that's fair. The way a nigga do business doesn't mean the way, that's how he does everything. But it certainly makes it easy to believe.
Are you sure?
Because honestly, no. Because honestly, if the white man does it, yeah, I'm going to go there. If the white man does it, they call him a shrewd businessman.
Mm-hmm. A shrewd businessman.
That's the title.
I would definitely agree with you right there.
But because Diddy's doing it, like, okay.
He's evil.
That I don't really want to comment to that because I don't really think it's a fair assessment on that front.
I mean, but also, man, the white man's never fucking Harlem shaking and hugging niggas in the videos acting like they brother. You know what I mean? I've never seen Lee or Cohen fucking Harlem shaking and hugging niggas. He never do that shit.
He's robbing you.
He's letting you know what it is.
He's not going to make the world think that y'all are the best of friends.
You understand? Like, bro, like you.
He's robbing you.
You in the video dancing with Mason, you won't pay him. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, but for instance, like y'all said about when T.D. Jakes came out, they didn't hear if it was true, nothing. It just ran with it.
It didn't matter.
They just ran with it. They just went with whatever and just slandered the man without even knowing if anything was even facts.
Like, and funnier is that, like, it's already disappeared. It's like, gone. We're already not talking about T.D. Jakes. And it's like, if I saw him, I'd ask him to pray for me. It's done. It's gone already. Mm-hmm. It's through. So, and it's like, Diddy with the Cassie shit, we all but forgot about it. It's because this new shit is back and we're talking about it again. Like, this new cycle shit is going to get it out of here really very, very soon.
You have been swallowed.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Show that man some respect. That is an elder.
Swallowed.
Why is your TDJ's impression so good? What have you been, what are you working on in your spare time?
Nigga,
watching
that
shit. I watched it like 200 times, bro. I'm sorry.
I would.
But that's the internet, you know. We take stuff, we run with it, it's funny for a few days, and then it's on to the next.
That's
thing.
Niggas, man. Niggas don't take nothing serious
at all.
But just know,
we talking about rape. I'm just thinking this. Niggas was making jokes.
There's a lot of complaints saying that like Diddy's been accused of a lot of shit, but the only thing that we're talking about is gay shit.
Is the polarizing?
Are we broken as a people?
Absolutely.
Do black people hate gay shit more than they hate anything else?
I don't think it's that they hate gay shit, but I think that the gay lifestyle is easy to pick on for people. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't even say it's black people. It's us.
All right, so it's easy to pick on for us. You know what I'm saying? So like, nigga. The fucking lawsuit said he shot somebody. There was pedophilia happening. Can I say rape?
Grape.
You said it 17 times.
I did, didn't I? But I'm saying like that shit is in there. Like it's a whole bunch of other things outside of whatever homosexual activities might have been taking place. Like they're
But you're
actually,
saying that's the main thing they focus.
But I feel like that is because it's the most polarizing of everything.
It's not crazy. Like, bro, honestly, the abuse.
There's more evidence that alleged, he shot somebody.
The
plus,
alleged abuse and the alleged violence should be the headlines.
But plus, there's more. Like, in the lawsuit, when you read it, if you want to discount everything else that's said, the incident with the shooting, there's more evidence to support that than anything else in the lawsuit. And nobody talking about that shit.
Because that's the most thing, you know, that everybody is like surprised about. Like, what? Or some people, you know.
And that's crazy to me, man.
It's just crazy. It's a lot. And
I believe Puff would do whatever is necessary to keep his empire rolling. I don't know what that entails. Oh, go ahead, Miami.
My bad, sis. I ain't know.
I was going to ask you if I overlooked you when I gave it to Ben. I was going to ask you, but I didn't want to be rude.
It's
you did, but it's cool.
One thing stands true, though. Cat did land a prophetic word in that interview.
This is the year of truth.
He said, this is the year of truth.
Mm.
Yeah, he did.
And I don't know what the truth is because I wasn't there. None of us was there, but it's a lot of attempted exposés coming out.
Allegations.
Okay. All right. So.
Allegedly. Everything that we said is alleged. Allegations.
Let's do a pivot here. I saw people speaking about a generation of rap, and it made me very curious. They said that of Drake, Cole, and Kendrick, they said that Drake proven himself to be the biggest star. J. Cole's proven himself to be the best rapper. And Kendrick has proven himself to be the best artist of the three.
There you go.
I want to ask you guys, is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely, hands down.
Ben, you agree?
I think when it comes to stardom, I think Drake's got
both of them, yeah.
Yeah, everything that it takes to be a star, I think Drake has that in terms of the desire to want to be out in front. I feel like everybody else who you put in there, they don't necessarily have that desire to want to be out in front.
Yeah.
So they necessarily lose that ability to be a star. You know what I mean? And
J. Cole's still a star to me and Kendrick's still a star.
You don't want to be in the forefront
like you said.
You ain't going to see Cole hosting SNL. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to see Kendrick hosting. Like, those are the type of things that Drake can do.
You're not going to see Cole doing a podcast with a little white girl.
And it still connects with everybody that would listen to their music. If you see Kendrick on SNL, that probably won't connect with everybody that listen to Kendrick music. They might just tune in because, oh, Kendrick there. But in terms of like when Drake do it, Drake will connect with people who just heard his music randomly. He's funny. He's humorous on camera.
Now, just rap on some bar for bar shit. You believe that it's Cole above the three?
That's
the debate.
Because
they're calling Kendrick an artist, and I like it.
I got Kendrick at the top of that list. in terms of rap and art.
So what? Damn.
I don't think out of the three of those guys you named, I don't think the other two have a better album than Good Kid, Mad City. And I'm talking about an album that you could listen to time and time again. You could listen to this album in pieces, right? And it'll make you want to go. I'll listen to track 5. It'll make me want to listen to track 4 and 6 because of how well put together the album is.
I'm gonna
the rest
say,
of the boys don't have one of those.
I disagree with that, but I will say Good Kid, Mad City is the closest thing that sounds like an old school rap album to me.
Nigga,
there's
Damn.
There's an intro. There's some sketches. There's
Damn
some
has
good
like
song.
20 hits on it. Literally, damn, almost every
nigga,
song on that album was a
was
smash.
The same
debatable.
Is playable Come like
on,
a motherfucker. Nothing on. Was the same. It's a beautiful album. What's the other shit with the shampoo?
Nothing was
candles.
The same as another
Take
album
care.
That's classic.
Take care.
But you when you listen, you go back and listen to that right now. You playing it from start to finish, or you gonna pick out your selective songs that you like?
Only because I don't love rappity rap Drake. I like the singing shit personally.
But my point. You go listen back to Good Kid, Mad City, you put that shit on from the first song and let it ride.
That's all subjective because I'm not letting any Kendrick ride in my home, personally.
That's ridiculous.
Personally.
I understand why.
But like,
I know
but,
you.
But I recognize greatness. Ridiculous. You know I recognize greatness when yeah. I see it, even though I'm not going to fuck with it.
It don't make it not ridiculous.
I'm not going to fuck with it, but you know, I just, so then.
Shout out to Cole, though. I got mad love for J. Cole.
That's what I'm saying, because I think Cole is a brilliant, talented rapper.
But he's the epitome of what happens when you're really good at everything and not necessarily great at one particular thing.
I can't let you slide with that.
What?
Come on, baby. I'm in a bag right now. Let me live,
the nigga,
man.
The nigga pulling out the thesaurus on y'all boys, man.
Bro, I'm in a let bag.
I can't let it go.
He pulling the thesaurus on y'all boys, man.
It's my job, okay? For our website, it says that I'm the wordsmith. The one with the big vocabulary.
Nah, man, go. Get deep in your duffel, Chris.
It is epitome.
Come on, man. Okay? Come on, man. Nah, fuck that shit.
You know what I meant, nigga?
Tell him about the ramifications. Go
you
ahead,
know
get
what
to
I'm saying?
Bag, baby.
I'm trying to get into the intellectual concepts.
It's like
you understand what I mean?
Wait, what did he say? Because it wasn't epitome. I heard it, but I was going to just say, I was going to
but you was with me, though.
No, no, no.
That's what I'm saying. You was with me.
We made eye contact. Because you both realized it at the same time.
You was with me, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
I let that man cook, man. I'm
it wasn't until I saw you look over at me. I was like, okay. I have the green light.
I have to say something.
Ignore the preliminaries. I was there already. You knew what I was talking about.
Jesus Christ, that's funny to me, bro.
Nah, but Kendrick, man. So, in terms of a hip hop rap album, bro, like
bar for bar, he's better than Cole to you.
Come on, bro. He is, bro. Like I fuck with J. Cole, but he is bar for bar. Kendrick has like double entendres, triple quadruple entendres when he rap. J. Cole don't really give you the quadruple entendre level like thinking.
But the shit the nigga say be so hard.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
It'd be hard.
Yeah.
But also, like, because I don't listen to enough Kendrick, I can't really stand on this shit. Like, I know J. Cole shit hard because I played enough J. Cole, but I haven't played the Kendrick enough to be able to say no.
But see, and this is what I'm saying. Like, when you ask me who's the better artist of the two, that's like saying who's the better artist, Picasso or whoever the fuck else, Basquiat. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
creatively, the way Kendrick like puts his albums together, like I know the nigga's hella creative. Seeing his stage performances, the way he builds his set, the jail shit, we're looking at an artist. This nigga's creative.
Performance.
So it's like when they call him the better artist of the three, I can definitely see how this nigga is more creative than Cole and Drake. I can see it.
I think they're kind of like in different lanes, so it's kind of hard to compare, but I understand like where y'all going?
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, they're of that class where we have to compare them. They're different as fuck. But, like, they're of the, like, the same way niggas compared Wade, Carmelo, and LeBron because they always drafted in the same year. We kind of have to do with these boys, too. They're of the same class.
All right, and I'm going to tell you where I think J. Cole might have surpassed Kendrick on an artist tip. on his live shows.
Or because he's more consistent.
Not just that, but J. Cole has the type of music that he can perform without and shouting at you. Kendrick has the influxuation.
He has a full spectrum.
It's different things going on when Kendrick rapping. So those influxuations change the dynamic of what you're listening to. Now, if I'm listening to J. Cole, most of his stuff is delivered within that pocket that's real easy on the ears.
That could be just because we Southern. Because for me, J. Cole, like, when Drake get into his Southern bag, he's the easiest to listen to. But then it's Cole.
But I'm talking about in terms of like a concert situation, gotcha. Right? Like I could see J. Cole and hear J. Cole every hit song that he's ever had. I can listen him perform that on stage and it'll sound just like on the CD.
We should go to the nigga festival this year, man, if we can, bro.
The Dreamville Fest.
Yeah, I've been wanting to go to the festival.
It's
in North Carolina.
We need to go, man.
I've been dying to go.
We don't do shit no more, dog. It sounds kind of lame as hell.
Because for me, a 2-day festival, some drink, some trees. We know we ain't got to pay for nowhere to live in North Carolina. It's easy money.
Dog.
It's easy money.
We lame as hell.
We lame. Because for me, like, I feel like concerts are going to be my new fun. Nigga, I looked at the lineup for Jazz in the Gardens. And it was my age. It's Jeezy and Jazz in the Gardens. We old as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
We old as fuck.
Jeezy at Jazz in the Gardens.
They got young Jeezy at Jazz in the Gardens.
So you mean on night two, I'm going to get to see... like Dionne Warwick type shit. And then on night two, hey, I'm gonna get to see Jeezy.
When I was a
I don't know, I might be in Jazz in the Garden this year.
When I was a jit, they had Kim and shit. They had
niggas from that one.
Stop loving.
You remember when you used to stay up late and the commercial would come on?
I just got a phone call. You had to reset the shit.
The smooth R&B commercial. with all the hits from the 90s and 70s.
Like, Jazz in the Gardens is rap now. Like, the world
that's
is changing.
Crazy, dog.
The world is changing, man.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
It's starting to be for us.
You got to say that again, because that's so fucking crazy.
Jazz in the Gardens don't got no more jazz.
When I went to Jazz in the Gardens, it was like Chaka Khan was performing and like Erykah Badu.
That's who it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but like I think this year though it's because they're honoring the whole
50th year.
50 year.
Okay.
Hip hop.
I was gonna say, bro.
Yeah.
If it's time for Jeezy and Ross at motherfucking Jazz in the Gardens, nigga.
No, that's supposed to be like Earth Wind. That's supposed to be like Earth, Wind, and Fire, though, type shit.
That's
like,
what I'm
but
saying.
But now they got Jeezy and, yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, the melodics.
I gotta find me a linen set and some sandals, nigga. I'm finna go out there lose my mind.
What, nigga? That shit gonna snap off in Jazz in the Garden, that shit.
The old people gonna be mad, I'm not gonna lie, because they used to be, they kind of like, to go listen to Frankie, Beverly, what it is.
Frankie Beverly,
yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's not that anymore. But I think it's because of the 50 year hip hop.
Okay.
That would make sense, though.
Yeah. We'll see next year. Because next year, if it's not going right back to jazz, then we're going to have to see something, man. We're going to have to see. Because eventually, nigga, in a few years, we're going to be of Jazz in the Garden's age.
If Gucci Man is at Jazz in the Garden, I'm at Jazz in the Garden, nigga. You just said Jeezy there, so Gucci can't be too far around the corner.
Did anybody see Jeezy's Tiny Desk performance?
Yes.
I did.
How did you feel about it?
Didn't like it.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't think he chose the right songs.
The audience for me was too.
Oh my God, they made me so fucking mad.
Yeah, I would have been in there.
Losing my mind.
They was a little too, you know, calm for me.
And I don't know whose decision it was to choose college age kids for a nigga whose musical heyday was in 2014. I don't know whose decision
outside,
that was.
Bro.
You wasn't there.
You wasn't outside.
You wasn't there when the DJ Kokos played Trap or Die Straight. Dog. You weren't there when a nigga played the CD and just walked away from the booth because he knew
that energy in your body.
Shit.
These niggas sounded like you, nigga.
You niggas.
dun, dun, dun. These niggas bite your motherfucking
These
style.
These niggas never had a Scarface to trap or die. They don't know life.
Don't nigga. Know.
These niggas never had a Mongolian motherfucker in iguanas to some of this shit. Niggas haven't lived.
First time I ever. All right, listen. I'm going to say this with pride, but even though I'm saying it very pridefully, I want the listeners to understand, especially the younger listeners, do not try this at home, children. The first time I ever drunk and drive, nigga, I had a Scarface.
It took me a while to understand that it's not meant for you to drink both of those cups. Mm-mm. You have to share with somebody. Mm-hmm. All right, man, listen.
Lesson learned. But this is, again, a product of me going into certain areas
and just being a
by
tourist.
Myself with no guidance. Nigga, I this was before I met Ricky, like Amos and all of them. I'm just tagging along. Oh, y'all going? Okay, I'm going to meet y'all over there. It was when I met Ricky. Then I got it. I got into Coco's and had some guidance. All right, after the first time we went. After that, he realized that I needed guidance. But from that point moving forward, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's what happened to the Miami man. Scene. Talk it to took me. Away the think? Scar faces.
Nick, I drove by Coco's yesterday. It's a plaza. It's a like a dry cleaner there or some shit.
I was about to say, when you say plaza, what you mean?
It's dry cleaning and a Dollar Tree or some shit there. It's a plaza.
Not in the good Coco's.
Oh, my God, bro.
It's... Man, I still remember Coco's like it was yesterday. Like, nigga, if I close my eyes, I can go to Coco's right
I
now.
I can see the blue wall to take pictures.
And the blue flame.
And then the goddamn...
the chicken, carpet the, with the little design
the
in it.
The chicken lady right over there. The DJ right over there. The VIP right over there, here. Yeah. I can see it.
But that's the problem. We don't have any staples like... That has come and gone.
Because I thought Iguanas was never going to die. Oh, yeah. You hear me?
I'm because
it was
good karaoke.
It was there for so long.
It was illegal activity that killed them, though.
I had no
it
idea.
I don't think that it was that it died down as a spot. I think the owners got into some shit. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I remember.
And it's like...
But we don't have any staples anymore, so...
The beach has always like been a revolving door for clubs. They never keep the same names. But damn, yeah. I don't... There are no clubs now... That were open back in the day.
Nah, all the shit that's popping now is shit that's new.
Is Deluxe still here with us?
Rolex is something else. It's Climax now.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Foxy Lady?
I don't even know what that is, Playboy. you predating my
I'm
Miami.
I'm too deep in the trenches. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you predating my Miami. Is
79th and 22nd, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why for me, like, I feel like what's next for me is... I want to get out of Miami. I don't want to be complaining. I don't want to be sitting up here about the crabs in the buckets. I don't want to talk about, oh, I want to move to Atlanta to start fresh and to make it like.
And I hate this shit.
You sure?
Because so much of Miami's people are leaving Miami. Like, because that's the thing. Miami is the people.
Yeah.
The people who have, like, you've contributed a lot to this scene.
Facts.
You understand? You've contributed a lot to the people in this scene. So
motherfuckers
it's like,
might not give you people, credit like they should.
When people like you leave, the city lose a little bit.
Not a little bit.
You know what
bit.
I mean?
It loses
and it's
a
like,
lot.
But also, I don't knock no motherfucker from leaving Miami. I did it.
Because who?
I did it.
I did
not,
it.
If
so
not
I don't
her,
knock a nigga from leaving Miami.
If not her, who else was fucking with these niggas?
But also, like,
she gave a lot of niggas platforms when they would. Nigga, they could have went from hell and high water and wouldn't have found a platform to get on. No matter, even if they were talented enough to be there, it just wasn't, the people who had platforms weren't looking down here to work with people. And the people who fucking had the motion down here would take they motion elsewhere.
And I don't know many people that leave Miami and regret it, but it's still like, I hate to see like Miami niggas like do great elsewhere and gotta like put on other, like there's a bunch of Miami comedians that are doing huge just elsewhere.
Yeah.
Just not doing it here because they feel like they can't do it here. Same thing with the music.
I think it's great to start here, but you gotta be willing to expand. Or if not, it gets dangerous because you get caught up in a lifestyle and everything else.
Yeah, you can't be too big in a small
You
cage.
Gotta want to be able to, and that's where I'm at right now. Like, yeah. I have a lot of love for the city, of course, the different interviews and events and stuff. But now it's just like I want to go outside of that. Like, I want to grow. I want to expand. I want to do stuff I never did before. I want to travel. I want to see the world. Like, it's so much world to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much bigger than here. So like I'm ready to like do stuff, but just get in a new lane and just really make an impact and still continue to like, you know, big up the women, still big up the local artists and stuff like that. But I just want to go further. Like I don't want to sit here any longer and just the whole crab in the bucket. Like, I don't want to be a part of the, like, miserable conversation. Like, I want to live my life. I want to love. I want to make
that
progress.
That conversation is tired as hell.
Get outside of the box.
You want to know why it's
tired? I don't
want
to. I'm sick of, like, all of that, you know, that the constant conversation of people just always complaining about what we need to do here and there. Yeah, and for a long time, I felt like I was trying to help everybody get this exposure and all this stuff. And at the end of the day, I realized that a lot of people stuck because they just want to sit and complain. They don't want to see.
Yo, you know what we should do? We gotta move like them niggas in Atlanta.
Oh my God. Like, and I'm just.
It made me so angry.
If I had a dollar, but
let me tell
every
you
time
why
I heard that,
that
bullshit.
Sentiment made me so mad. It made me so mad because every city I go to, I wish Miami niggas knew that every city you go to, they, if you go to Atlanta, they're going to tell you they got a crab in a bucket problem. If right. you go to New York, they're going to say they got a crab in a bucket problem. Mm-hmm. If you going to say, if you go to L.A., see, this is why L.A. niggas can't make it.
No.
You see, Miami niggas, the
niggas
always, in the South,
they all work together.
Like, bro, whenever I hear American niggas say, you see them Haitian niggas? They support each other. I'm like, who? And like, you see them Zoes? They stick together. Yeah. Which Zoes? Which fucking Zoes, nigga? Who stick together? Right, but it's like outside looking in, you always think niggas sticking together. Nigga, ain't nobody sticking together. Everywhere got crabs in the barrel. Every nigga hate their city. You ask a nigga what's wrong with the niggas in their city, he got a list for you.
That's a fact.
And that's why you got to network though, and like I'm saying, like get out the city. And that's what I realized. Like, if not, you're just gonna be sucked in by that same.
Yeah.
Energy, and that's why you got out.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you got to move around. And I want to salute y'all because y'all been doing y'all thing for, I don't know, this might be our 10,000 56th
episode. This nigga said 189 or some shit earlier. I was like, who been doing this shit for 189?
Nigga,
damn,
we pulling up on episode 200 soon.
Jesus.
Yeah. Salute to y'all.
It's
for doing
live show time, baby.
You know what I'm saying? Doing numbers and being consistent and just stepping out and just doing something new. Like,
right.
Can I put a date on it? Can I do that right now?
Put a date on it.
Nigga, July 27th.
These niggas really took takeoff, man. I still can't believe
it. NWO. Back from a long break. But we got a live show coming up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
July 27th.
We're doing it for Benny's birthday.
I repeat.
Give him a little bit of hell.
July 27th. This is not a drill, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a joke. This is not gist.
And I didn't think of that, too. Y'all niggas probably are going to try to give me fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
Y'all going to try to give me
hell. I would never give you hell.
I'm going to bring out a cake for you, bro.
Oh, my God. Please, no.
Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring out the biggest pair of titties I can find and put frosting on those and then put a candle right in the middle.
Yo.
What are you trying to do?
Ruin your life. That's what a good friend does, baby.
Can we have that pop out of a big cake?
I mean, we have to talk to Ricky. He's our budget. You know what I mean? If Ricky wants to spend the check, then we got it.
I got something for Ricky.
All right. Let's get down to one subject at least. So I've been seeing a lot of talk, especially in our generation, of people going no contact with their parents, no contact with their family, and saying that, like, especially, like, kids of, like, black people, immigrants who are, like, you know, because black people were not supposed to turn our back on family. Like, that's how we're raised. Family over everything. Family no matter what.
Fuck that.
He's still your brother. He's still your father.
Fuck
that's
that.
Still your uncle.
You can't.
There shouldn't be a thing you can say to throw away family. Blood is thicker than water. Niggas got a million expressions for why you shouldn't say fuck family.
And you know, for every one of them expressions, there's a second half that niggas always leave out. Because no, blood is not thicker than water. But when you thirsty, you don't ask for blood.
Don't split speech us, bro.
I fear.
Please.
I fear that he might have made a point there.
He has.
So then, what's your attitude about going no contact with members in your family?
Bro,
is
can't,
it necessary
listen,
evil?
I was just born. You can't force nobody on me. And I'm speaking on this from a real life. Like, nigga, I'm dead fucking serious when I was like, all jokes aside, I put the weed down right now. I'll show you I ain't fucking playing.
Don't put it down. Hand it to me. Don't put it down.
So you're right.
Put it down. Don't put it down. Keep it going.
Yeah, but nah, dead ass. Like, nigga, I'm done with that. And I'm not doing it to my kids. I'm done with, like, that buck stops with me, bro. You're not finna force nobody on me. I'm tired of this, oh, that's your cousin shit. I'm tired of this, oh, that's your auntie, your uncle. Fuck that. Where you at when I need family, nigga? If you not there when I need family, back the fuck up.
It's okay.
I'm talking about, like, this shit really personal for me, like, for real. Bro, mm-hmm. If you not there for me when I need family, do not run off at the mouth telling people we related. You know me, nigga. That's it. You know who I am. You don't even know me. You know who I am. You know of me.
So then clearly you had to go no contact with some family before.
Nigga, right now I'm cutting niggas off as we speak. While I'm talking to you, I'm crossing names off the list.
Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in your family actively getting you to try to not do that? Or do niggas already know what it is with you? Because, like,
you know me, plus.
Because every time
you think a nigga could talk sense into me?
Here come my mama. That's still your family. My mama loved her. My mama's that person.
But you know me.
So then,
you think a nigga could talk sense into me?
I don't know if niggas are trying. So niggas not even trying no more. Niggas quit with you. All right, bet. Say less. You've been Chris for a long time, huh?
Come on, man.
You've been that guy for a long time.
This ain't your first day.
Mm-hmm. Ben, how do you feel about going out, no contact? Is it a necessary thing? Is it forbidden? Is there nothing that family can do to really be thrown away? Or can anybody get the cut?
I almost feel a little torn because, like, I do find some validity in, you know, just recognizing your family. But now I'm thinking, like, to what extent? Like, does that, like, extend outside of my immediate family? Because, like, my immediate family are the people that I went through the trenches with. Mm. They're the ones who, like, have seen me at my best and at my worst, in a lot of cases, you know, up until the point where, you know, I moved out of home. And moved away from home, and I became like a man. But I also, with that being said, I also feel there's validity in the saying, family are the people that you choose. So, like, I find validity in that, too, because there are a lot of people who are not technically like my blood family who I hold into high regard.
Come on,
I would actually
man.
Call, you know, if I need advice or I need some type of counsel.
Let me
this
ask
guy
you this.
Being one of them.
Let me ask
Chris
you this.
Chris being one of them.
Is there something that your immediate family can do that can earn a no contact? Like are there do you have those kind of boundaries set where, like, this is something that you just can't do to Ben at all? Because this will get you a cutoff no matter who you are.
Get named in that lawsuit.
Or is everything negotiable because it's family?
No, I don't think everything is negotiable. To like outside of my immediate family, man, like, I don't really negotiate with other people outside of that.
Yeah.
Like, when we're talking about family, technically, like, on paper, we family, we're related. Outside of my immediate family, I don't really negotiate like that. I don't.
For me, it's like, I guess it's personal with everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For me, my close family, like, my immediate family, I'm very close with them, so I would definitely do whatever to try to, you know, patch up anything with them. But on the flip side of that is, like, I'm the type of person, it's like, I protect my energy a lot. Like, if it's bothering me, if I can't deal with it or whatever, like, I just leave it alone. Like, I don't deal with stuff that, like, no longer serves me. Like, I don't care who it is, family, friend, whatever. It's like, if it's just constantly, like, a negative thing, like, I can't deal with it. So that's just pretty much
because you shouldn't have to.
Everything.
At the end of the day.
But something for me is, like, if you haven't been there with me in the trenches riding with me or whatever, like, don't ask me for nothing that I can't ask you for.
Right.
Pretty much. You know. If I can help out, I will. But it's like, people use you. Like, so you have to be careful. I protect my energy.
They use you for what you could. Like, financially, if you're in a position, they're going to try to use you. But they use you most emotionally. Like, they play with your emotions. They placate to your emotions. They all around just mess with your emotions. Like,
I don't really have those problems. So honestly, because I don't have a very big family. So
that's the thing. I got a huge, like,
massive.
My family huge. And sometimes I look at my family, I'm like, man, y'all niggas big for nothing. Like, all you niggas. All of y'all niggas. Like, look at the manpower. All of you niggas. That's for though. Nothing, bro. Every last one of you, for nothing. Like, literally, for fucking nothing.
That shit is difficult, though. Like, I commend whatever you're doing, because to say these niggas gotta go, chop, chop, that's tough. Especially when we're talking about family, but immediate listen, family, mother, father, brother, sister,
your cousin. When you say immediate family, right? Not, you talking about my mom. Like, don't get me wrong, bro. You know me. I'm one of the most forgiving people. So, all right, you did. If I felt you did me wrong, I'm not gonna hold it against you, right? But what you now have to do is be comfortable coming around me knowing you did me wrong. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to act like it never happened. I'm going to move with awareness, but I'm not going to treat you like you did me wrong. You just got to be mentally prepared to be cool with somebody that you know you did wrong. And if you can't do that, that speaks to you more than it speaks to me, because I'm still doing me. But you can't come around me because you know you did me foul. And your conscience won't let you be around me, because the whole time you're around me, you thinking, this nigga can't really fuck with me after how I did him. Like,
some niggas ain't got a soul for real. Unfortunately, that shit don't hurt everybody. Unfortunately, just shame, everybody ain't got it. Everybody just don't walk around feeling ashamed when they fuck up, unfortunately.
You know what?
True.
I'm gonna actually come back in, pause, and say that I was a little hypocritical.
Talk to me.
A little bit.
Talk to me. I love a good self-reflection.
A little bit, because there are like a select few of people that I negotiate with. I do. Only because, again,
yeah,
like we've been in the trenches. You know, there's certain things that I had to deal with in my life at that certain moment in time where, like, they were actually there to, like, talk to me about it, counsel me through it, or be there in some capacity. Those are people that I would negotiate with. And again, it would have to determine on like what the act was that might make me want to question it. But I do negotiate with people outside my immediate family.
There's a lot of like African niggas on TikTok, Chinese people, a lot of gay people who are saying, I just can't. I'm never talking to my mother again.
Yeah.
They can't meet my kids.
Yeah, like, see my mom? Come on, bro. What can my mom do?
Because this is the thing, right? When you were raised with a good mom, you can't fathom the other side. But there's another side.
Yeah, no. Nah,
not everybody has. You understand what I'm saying?
Nah. I know that. Listen, like, I know that from personal experience. But even the person that I know who was in that position with their mother, they still talk to their mom.
Right. Right. But it's like, you know,
everybody is different, though.
Everybody, because, like, right now, we're not living, let's say, a lifestyle that our mother is probably, and even if she's vocally disapproving, nothing compared to what she would be if he was a gay nigga. If you was gay, you wouldn't stop hearing about it. You know that. Yeah. If he was a gay nigga, they wouldn't stop telling you, yo, why are you gay? Why are you gay? Why are you gay? You would not stop. Hey. So it's like,
it's crazy how true that is.
So you got to give grace for niggas who got some other shit going on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's my mother.
I understand that might offend some people out there, but you got to understand the level of truth in that.
And the passive aggressiveness with it, man.
Oh,
I could foresee a Haitian mom asking, do you still go to church? And that's their way of probably making a comment over the fact that you like men.
And
when's the last time you went to church?
And unfortunately, like,
it's because you stopped going to church.
That's a version of love, right? But also, we know from experience, speaking the right love language is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't show you love any kind of way because you may not receive it any kind of way.
True.
So it's like, if I'm telling you, have you been to church because I love you and I want to save your soul, but you don't give a fuck about that, then you don't feel love even if I'm showing. So I don't knock anybody who's doing it, but I mean, I've gone.
Just stop right there.
You're right. That's it right there.
Because they will cancel y'all.
That's it right there.
This will be the 200th last episode.
That's it right there.
I beg to differ. I think we've told the line closer with them guys getting upset with us.
But here's
Don't involve me in it. I don't want nothing to do with it. All right, you're right. I was going somewhere else.
I'm just saying, like,
not the episode you come back on. Let's not make it down.
I've definitely gone.
Because I love the rainbow.
All right, don't get me wrong.
I'm a doctor with this shit afterwards. I could do all the surgery.
We haven't done anything wrong.
Nah, man, we've been in bounds the whole time.
I've definitely gone no contact, right? And it's like,
I was about to say, now tell us, because it's for you.
I've definitely gone no contact. All right. But eventually, you know, you work it out. I've never done it personally.
Because you're forgiving.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't work it. You wouldn't pursue working it out. Like,
but let me tell you,
if the other person wasn't willing, you wouldn't be, come on, man, we gotta be cool. We gotta be cool.
But what we gotta understand, though, is life is very short. Mm-hmm. Right? So you sometimes, because I'm not gonna lie, I used to be somebody who, like, boy, I'll hold a grudge, boy. If you done, like, you done. You know what I'm saying? But life is very short.
But why? Because I don't want to talk to you, I gotta be holding a grudge. Why can't I just not want to talk to you no more?
I mean, but you,
well, why they gotta be synonymous?
It's not the same thing, but they both exist. I'm not gonna say too much,
but just remember that. So it's like, when you mad at somebody, it's like, okay, if they go tomorrow and you don't get a chance to clear that up, like, would you feel some type of way?
I'm not mad at no. That's what I'm saying. When I speak, it might sound like I'm mad. It's because I'm passionate about the business I'm standing on. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not mad, but I'm just real firm in how I stand on this business.
God forbid somebody you love leaves. You would rather be okay than not be okay, I would assume. And I
God bless him.
Jesus Christ. You cold. That's all. You different than us regular civilians with the heart. That's all.
I ain't a different kind of guy. I'm not going to cap. If me and a nigga not cool no more, we not cool
I'm not saying a nigga. I'm saying somebody you love. I'm not saying a nigga off the street. Fuck a nigga off the street. Somebody you love.
I ain't never fell out with nobody I love.
See, and that's because you don't believe in that no contact shit. Because no contact with a stranger or an associate is
easy. Man, go ahead and call them tomorrow. Plus. Go ahead and call them tomorrow, plus.
No.
Just clear it up.
No, I'm done. I'm good.
It ain't that.
I'm good, baby.
Go ahead. It ain't that. It's not even, like, all right, even with the no contact shit, I'm not going to contact you. No, I'm not going to hit you up. But if you decide that within yourself, you realize you was wrong, you put your mind at ease, your conscience at ease, and you could come around me, bro, we can flex like nothing happened. I'm not going to trip on some shit that if I forgave you, I forgave you and I moved on. If I moved on from it and I didn't forgive you, nigga, I moved on. I don't have time to be holding on to this. You know what? When I was 16, you take shit left.
Because that's not what no contact means. No contact means intentionally not speaking to somebody. And it's like, if you're always open to talking, then you don't believe in no contact. You know what I mean? Like no contact is somebody being so insufferable, so uncompromising that I just can't afford to give this person any of me anymore. But if you're open to talking, then I mean, you're just better than most of them.
But I'm not finna be up your ass about it.
That's the opposite of no contact.
I'm not making an effort whatsoever.
That means you're still open to
it. That means you're open to it.
I'm saying that I'm open to it, though. But that's what I'm saying. Like, in the level of in which I'm open to it.
Is this the gymnastics act that you do? You're doing flips
just,
right now?
I don't understand what he's fighting for.
You're doing triple sock.
What is he fighting for?
The Nancy Kerrigan shit?
No. I'm trying to make sure that if we agreeing on something, I'm actually in agreeance with what we agreeing on.
Man, come on, bro. All right, nah.
I'm trying to make sure I'm in alignment with what's happening, and you get mad at me. I'm just trying to keep everything in reach.
Any chase?
All of it's over there.
It's just out of reach.
All right, I just gotta be tough. That's all.
You want some ginger ale, bro?
That'd be lovely. Ooh, God damn it.
We could take a quick commercial break.
I could pause it right now.
Nah, you ain't got to pause it.
No, we'll do a commercial break.
We actually have people who sponsor this show that we got to do ads for that we don't do ads for because we just want to get it over with.
That's crazy.
I need my ads, Playboy.
I can't believe he would talk to me like this.
Because you know why?
I can't believe you know why I'm talking to you like this. Talk to me like this in a place like this.
You know why I'm talking to you like this? Because you in my house now, nigga. You see, when we was at Ricky's house, you could do all that fuck Chris shit. You in my house now, nigga.
Hey, it's still fuck Chris. But
fuck
you,
know you.
But you know what? You want to know what his house is? I'll tell you all about his house. His house is a vegetarian delight juice bar. The best vegan food in all of the city, man. Listen to it. It's clean eating. It's cruelty free. It's delicious. It's soul. It's not that stuff that you be seeing on them other places. I don't know what they doing. It look crazy. Here, it look delicious. All right? Come see us on the socials, Delight Juice Bar. Come see us on Instagram, Delight Juice Bar. We upload a brand new menu every day. Pull up on us. Delight Juice Bar, right on the corner, 441 and Miramar Parkway. Come and see about us, man. Best food out here. Delicioso. I'm still a fiend for the vegan chili burger. I mean, for the vegan burger and then the vegan chili. Actually, I want to talk to you about the recipe. I don't know if you want to share that for me. Because look at his face. He said, fuck my recipe. Okay, I understand. I'll come here. It's fucking delicious, though. What is it? Are you... This thing is ignorant. Pull up on Chris, baby. That's a nice little song you got there. Got some vegetarian like. Alright, you know, I don't want to leave here without asking. So you were speaking about potentially moving. Where would you move to if you would move? Or is that still above your hands?
You trying to assault me or like, what's going on here?
Like, what city is the one that's gonna get your attention?
If I had a choice to Houston. Move and could.
Yeah.
Probably LA.
LA?
Yeah.
Word up.
Yeah.
I was guessing Houston. No. I don't know why. I just feel
I've never
like
even been in Houston.
She gonna
I know.
Be.
I was just getting Houston energy.
No, but LA is amazing.
Yeah.
Hold on, bro. You can't get your drink, bro.
It really is that.
I like the West Side. The air is different over there.
Mm-hmm. Got more weed.
A lot of go-getters. And then it's like the weather. It's not as bad. It's like, because I would say New York, but I could not deal with the cold. Or the winter would not work for me. So I would say L.A.
Women, weed, and weather.
Yeah, because L.A. got weather that's close. They palm trees. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful city. Yeah. It really is. It's nice.
Nice vibe.
So, update us. What have you been working on? What's been good? What's life like? What's new with you?
Actually, thank you.
For sure.
I'm just getting back outside. I don't know if y'all knew or heard that my mom passed last year.
Condolences,
my love.
Yes. I didn't really want to talk about that too much, but I haven't been outside because I just been taking some time for me. You know what I'm saying? But... So when he hit me up, I was like, all right, I'll, you know, pop back out and, you know, start
getting
back
outside.
I was about to say, man, that means a lot to us.
Yeah, because y'all like family. So I was like, all right, it's time. Like, I've been getting ready to, like, come back out. And I'm like, it's time. Like, stuff is starting to align. But I just needed some time for myself and my family and everything like that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I come back, I'm going to be real thick and stuff like that. And,
but it's important to take time.
You still on the market.
Best version of yourself, man.
You still on the market.
Yeah. Huh?
You still on the market.
You see?
She's not gonna answer. I love playing shit. I do. Yeah. I love playing shit.
I was just saying, you talk about being thick. Like you sound like a person that's on the market. All right.
Yeah. Like that's probably, you know, gonna be next for me. Like, you know.
You could be thick in a relationship too.
Nah.
Just because you get in a relationship and you stop being thick.
But that ain't when you're talking about it though. You already
Nah.
The car already sold. You don't need to tell them how good the engine is.
This nigga's ridiculous.
What is happening?
This nigga's analogy's out of control. Yo. He ain't gotta tell him how good the oil is in the transmission if it's driving good. Come on, man. Come on with the bullshit.
Because vroom vroom.
I really want to get back into doing stuff that I love and, you know, get cream pie and just, you know, potentially.
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
So casually. That's all I'm saying. She caught me off guard.
Okay. You know, and eventually, I wasn't you know, ready. Sit down, voice. But I'm always, I know my mom would have wanted that too, so I'm always do what I love in some type of form of fashion, and, you know, I'm just now actually, like, getting excited about coming back outside, but everything we talked about is just being wild, like, with everything that's going on, and it's just, like, a lot of shit has just been very boring to me, like. Even though I haven't been outside, I'm just kind of like observing and looking at everything. It's like, I don't really feel like I'm missing anything.
You don't have to be outside to see what's going on.
Right.
Because it's like, I be outside of Miami and I know all the shit that's going on. Like, I felt present for the Briscoe Iceberg shit.
I knew
shit.
You was going like, to see
it. Because like, I didn't have to be here right, to see every there. Update.
Right.
Hey, so, by the way, them niggas, you know what? And it's like, it's me being ignorant, but them niggas are still so fucking immensely talented, bro.
Yes.
Immensely talented. Like, it was, I don't know, you know, I can't call what was going on, but entertaining, mm-hmm. talented, like a motherfucker, man.
Yeah, but I want to get back into, like, hosting and podcasts. Yeah. And I want to get into just doing some stuff I never did before. I definitely want to get back into, like, covering events and, like, festivals, concerts, yeah. and I really love doing that. I really enjoy, like, touching the people.
And not just that, you're good at it.
Thank you. And
not
just,
touching people like Michael Jackson. Enjoy touching people, come on, right?
Man. Nah, just, you know, vibing actually with the people and being outside and just covering, you know, concerts and stuff and just making people feel like they're there. Like, I love that. I miss doing that.
Bringing that energy.
Yeah.
Bringing that vibe.
Make sure you bring that energy and that vibe to the live show, July 27th.
But I love that. And you already know, let us know how we can support you in any capacity. We'd love to do it.
I appreciate y'all always support me. So I had to, you know, when you reached out, I was like, okay, no pressure. So I'm like, it's time. So
I'm glad we got you when you got back outside. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the Lord timing. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Always on time, baby.
Always. Mm-hmm.
All right, Benny, what are your final thoughts for today, my young brother?
My final thoughts, I don't know. It's first of all, just want to thank you for coming back on. We appreciate you. We always like whenever you pull up. It's always a pleasure. And I guess I have more of a question.
Dun, now, dun, dun.
When does the cream pieing come back into play? Because I just need to know. When does that come back?
What do you mean?
This nigga's an animal, bro. Okay, she's essentially saying it's on the vision board.
Okay, yes.
You can't put a date on the vision board. Right. Okay, all success, right. Cream pie, new city. We're not doing no orders. You understand what I'm saying?
Got it.
But it's on the vision board.
Got it.
It's a little Debbie.
And it's a real cream pie. Hey, can that be the title?
It's on the vision. You know what? That's appropriate.
Cream pie can be the. Can we do that this time?
Chris, what are your final thoughts?
Sick, man.
My final thoughts are, family or not, man, cut that motherfucker off. They did you wrong. Fuck them.
Oh, shit. That's good. That's funny. Ulamina, my dear, any final thoughts you want to leave the people with today?
Yes. Life is short. Live it to the fullest. And protect your energy.
My final thoughts are, man, Go to Nothing was the same. Play Come Through. And tell me that Drake not the best artist. I'm sick of this shit. Play Come Through and really feel it. Turn it all the way to 60. Really feel it.
And follow me at Empress Raw.
Boom.
And thank you guys so much for having me. Please. Appreciate you so much.
Chris Casa is your Casa, okay?
No, that's a fact,
though. Cheers to success.
Cheers.
It's a fact. It's a fact. Because the connection deeper than just, like, you know what I'm saying, her coming on the podcast, like, low-key, we was, how you say, 6 degrees of separation. Like, I've known her longer than I ever really thought I knew her. Technically known her since I moved down here.
That's Miami for you.
Because, like I say, that 6 degrees of separation, I know her brother almost since I moved down here.
Big up to Josh Stream.
You know what I'm saying? Big up Josh Stream Sound. If you in South Florida, you see that name on a flyer, pull up. It's a vibe.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the 6 degrees of separation be crazy, bro. Be crazy.
And shout out to you, because that food was good as hell. I almost ain't
tell them again, man. Tell them again, bro. Because I tell them that I'm that nigga, and they think I'm crazy. Like, it's somebody
because,
else got
to
tell them.
It's because you be saying some crazy shit. How are they supposed to pick out what makes sense?
It all makes sense. You just got to wait.
I just got to wait to see that there ain't no aliens for real. I wait on it. Wait on it.
But thank y'all for bringing me back outside.
Thank you for coming
back
outside.
Thank you for coming outside.
For real. Yeah.
Especially during these demon hours. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Can Empress come out and play?
Come on, man.
And she said yes, so you know what I'm saying? It's good that you're here with us, man. We appreciate you.
Let me hold the breaker, brother.
Yeah, cream pie shawty, signing out.
Hey, that is a wild
yeah,
AKA.
Signing out.
That's a crazy AKA right there.
Oh, shit.
Hey, listen. CBS. When your DMs start going crazy, don't blame us.
Send her a little Debbie cake. Send her a little
They gonna come for you.
Yo, y'all shut up.